she was, standing there, satin gown, golden hair. She'll make you feel all night long. She'll make you
Everybody's popping with me.
It's gonna pop.
Yeah, of course. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here. And that's what is it? That's our promise to you, the viewer.
Yeah, that's the raincoat guarantee.
Yeah,
that okay, I'm back.
It will pop.
It's gonna pop.
And this week it's Jeremy and Boss, and we're popping with Sally.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all.
She's here to pop with us. And we're going to pop off.
All right. That's true. I'm about ready to pop off.
Me too.
No, you're not.
You don't know that.
You don't look ready.
You don't know that. I'm.
Are you close enough? Are we getting good
levels? Am I close enough?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, Boss, pop off for me. What have you done lately?
Well, our listeners might remember that during our last few episodes, you can hear me progressively getting sicker and sicker.
Yeah, it's cool.
after we recorded those, I spent like a day and a half sleeping and sweating.
That's good.
Oh, no.
And now I'm back alive.
Good.
Oh, good.
how sweaty did you get? Would you say, on a scale of 1 to 10?
I was sopping.
Okay. Oh. That's up there. Did you, like, soak food to the mattress? I did that when I had swine flu.
Maybe. We did get rid of our bed, so
yeah,
that's good.
It's, yeah,
that's very good.
It's a sick mattress. You had to burn it.
Yeah.
Because it's like the plague fibers were in there. It was down in the granules, microbes even.
Yeah. I mean, the timing was good. It was our harvest festival, so...
Yes, the harvest reaped and we've sown, and now we're back. Right?
Yes, and we're back on the Raincoat Report. We already introduced ourselves.
I think you sow before you reap.
You reap what you sow.
That's, you do sow before
so
you reap.
So you sow before you reap. But really, it's kind of a cycle.
Yeah, you can't.
Because you reap. Someone, you sow and then you reap, and then you sow again so you can reap again.
Yeah. The first man, he reaped before he sowed. He had to get the stuff. He had to go out into the wood, cut the reap, bring it home to
oh,
sow
yeah.
it. Okay?
And he does that to this day, the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yeah. He's not happy about his job, but he's dedicated.
Speaking of people speaking with jobs.
Oh, yeah.
We not have me. A tale today. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't have one anymore.
No, I quit because they were fucking with my schedule.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I didn't like that.
Well, I have a suggestion for a job for you. And it's the job held today by Amber Lynn in today's film, Amber Aroused.
Oh.
A.K.A. Aroused.
Yes. The title on screen is just Aroused, but... All of the posters and marketing material I found is called it Amber Aroused.
Yeah.
Of course, Amber Lynn's character in the film is named Terry. But
yeah.
I can see where maybe as a marketing move, Amber yeah. Aroused made more sense.
They put her and uh-oh. That robot right up on front
yes.
on the poster.
I love that robot.
His name is Topo.
He had a name?
Yes,
his
I've learned that.
His name is oh. Woody.
Well, the robot's name... The robot itself is named Topo.
Okay, we'll talk more about this. We don't want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak.
No.
We have to sow before we reap.
You could put Topo before the cart.
That's true.
Or you could put the cart before Topo. He would just push it. He'd be like in a wheelbarrow. A horse wouldn't know what to do, though.
Horses aren't designed to deal with Topo.
Yeah. few people are either, as we will learn.
Yes.
It's a killing machine. This is pretty much Chopping Mall, right?
More or less, yes.
Okay, good. But it's got Amber Lynn.
Yes, it has Amber Lynn playing the lead role of Terry. Yes. We also have some larger roles from Jay Serling, who our listeners and longtime fans will remember from Pulsating Flesh. I would remember his hairy shoulders from anywhere.
His pauldrons of hair.
He plays the role of Harvey Woodman, or Harv. Mm-hmm. His wife is played by Crystal Breeze, who we've not covered much, if at all.
I've heard her name before.
But she plays Mag. And we, of course, have their neighbor, serial accused sex offender, Ron Jeremy.
Oh.
Longtime mental patient.
Yes.
Is he still in there?
Or? Oh, he's in the booby hatch. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he was not convicted of his crimes because he was deemed mentally unfit to stand trial.
Oh.
What do you think happened to his brain? Do we know?
I just assume it's syphilis.
Yeah, I was going to say last stages of syphilis. Ate it.
Yeah.
Just like Al Capone.
Yeah.
We also
I'm going to open Ron Jeremy's vault.
We also have appearances in much smaller, and I think in all cases, unnamed roles from Herschel Savage, the legend. The late legend.
The late legend. But legends never really die. They live on in their performances in films like Amber Aroused.
We also have Billy D. Tracy Does It. I like her name.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah.
Buck Adams. And several others, but one person that would be fun to highlight as we see him immediately as the film opens is Sasha Gabor, who plays the role of the bandit in this film.
Yes.
He is a Burt Reynolds lookalike.
Yes.
And appeared in Burt Reynolds lookalike roles in multiple films, looking at his IMDb filmography.
Was he in Tasty?
I believe he was.
I know there was a man who looked a lot like Burt Reynolds in that one. I don't quite remember if it were him or not.
He was in many adult films up through 2006 in his last film, Beaver Hunt 5. let's see. He was in Deep Throat 5.
He gets in there late.
He was in Titillation 2, the More Than Equal sequel.
Okay.
He was in The Buttnicks.
Okay.
Buttnicks. He was in Backdoor to Hollywood 4.
Oh, let's make Backdoor to the Future.
I love it. He was in Tracy and the Bandit.
That makes sense.
Credited as Turd Reynolds.
Tracy and the Bandit, like Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh my God, I love Smokey and the Bandit.
That's what we've been talking about this whole time. Do you not remember this man who looks exactly like
Burt
Reynolds?
Oh no, I remember him.
Okay.
No, I remember him.
That's his job.
He was in Tasty playing the role of Dick Lark.
I love it. Yeah. I knew he was there. He's my favorite Burt Reynolds lookalike in adult film.
Yes. So he had quite a filmography, and he should be praised for that. He was also on two episodes of the TV series Harper Valley PTA in 1982.
Huh.
Great. Beloved cult series.
And in one, he played Burt Reynolds in one episode, and the other, Olaf Dinker. I don't know what that is, but yeah.
Olaf Dinker.
Yeah, he has several roles where he's credited. His character's name is Bert or the Bandit. So, yeah.
I wonder if he ever got in any legal trouble with Bert. I guess it's not his fault he looked like him.
Yeah.
But he was capitalizing on being him more or less.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably bound to happen. It would be like if people told me I couldn't be like a handsome male model lookalike. It would just be wrong.
Much as it would be wrong to deny Amber's ability to go to a home and bring a spark back to a couple's relationship.
Yeah, their dying, loveless marriage.
Yes.
Kind of. Sort of.
She has to teach them that there are more things that you could do with your mouth than just eat food and speak.
Yeah, just run it and annoy your husband.
Well, with that, I think that's as good a time as any for us to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Amber Aroused.
Please, Terry, call me Mac. My Harvey does. And he's a famous inventor now. Mm-hmm. Why, he just got his name on a patent for a brand new robot.
Oh.
Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Well, his official name is Woodman, but we call him Woody. Woody, bring Harvey's tobacco.
Thanks, Woody.
Isn't that wonderful? Why, it certainly is. You must be very proud. I sure am.
Kick it off. Blow us away, you old hurricane, you.
Here I am, knock knees like a hurricane.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, well.
Fire away like a hurricane.
Hit me with...
your wet
shot. I'm going to hit you with my wet shot. Yeah, just like in Tasty, which starred Sasha Gabor.
Back the fuck off.
So we open on an aerial shot of the hills, I'm assuming somewhere in California. And it's here that we see the bandit, played by Sasha Gabor, driving around in his Pontiac Firebird that more or less immediately breaks down. He's in luck, however, as almost immediately we see him get picked up by Terry, played by Amber Lynn, who we see driving around in her convertible. She drives the bandit through the hills and parks on the side of the road under a tree, where she unzips the bandit's khakis and pulls out his cock to begin to blow him.
She is going to miss the interview she's late for.
Yes, she is. So she licks and sucks the bandit's cock for a couple of minutes here and strokes a load out onto her face. She tells him she needs to get going to, in an obviously overdubbed line.
Yeah, I think most of this film, or at least chunks of it, are overdubbed.
There are definitely portions that are. I think there's a decent bit of on-camera dialogue, but... It's no Doris Wishman film, but it has Doris Wishman moments.
Sure does.
She kisses the bandit before we cut to Terry pulling up at a house, touching up her makeup before exiting her vehicle, and walking up to the house in her skirt that shows off her ass and her lack of panties. She's greeted at the door by Harvey Woodman, played by Jay Serling. She tells him that she called him earlier and she's answering the ad he placed for a live-in maid. Harvey is taken aback by Terry and calls out to his wife Mag, played by Crystal Breeze, who we see getting dressed in the other room. We see Terry sit down and she shifts across her legs in a scene predating Basic Instinct. I have to assume that Paul Verhoeven saw this and copied it for his film.
Classic. Gooner. Yeah. Paul Verhoeven. He saw them all.
He should have.
He did. I just said he did.
We hear Harvey's voice internally as he sees this, saying, "She sure smells good."
Yeah, he's a pervert.
Yes, he is.
Just smelling the help.
Mag joins them in the living room, introducing herself to Terry and noting that Harvey's a famous inventor now, having gotten a patent on a robot. Mag asks if Terry wants to meet this robot, who she explains is officially named Woodman, but they call him Woody.
Yes, Mag, like, and it's spelled like Wall-E.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
That's how I spelled it.
Good. So Mag calls out to Woody, and he comes rolling in, delivering tobacco to Harvey, who's smoking from a pipe. Woody I guess Jeremy knows more about this, but to me, he looked like the unholy child of Rob the Robot for the Nintendo Entertainment System and the 2XL toy. Were you guys familiar with 2XL?
What the hell is 2XL?
So 2XL is a toy talking robot, and he would do, like, he would ask you questions, and, like, it would be like a little trivia game. But the key was that
remember,
there was a...
I remember 2XL. I did not have him, but looking at pictures of him, he looks like a radio with, like, a robot head. You just carry, he looks like he has little headphones on. So, there's an older one that looks a lot more like one of the garbage robots from Star Wars, though.
So, yeah, 2XL, the big thing was that he took a cassette tape in him.
Oh, so, wait a minute. I do remember that.
So, you could use him to just, like, play a tape or something, but if you put a 2XL tape into him, it would have, like, a certain type of, like, trivia or something. And he had little buttons at the bottom, so he would ask you a question and then give you time to answer. And depending on what button you pressed, it told you if you were right or wrong.
Oh.
I don't understand totally the way that that works.
It was magic.
Yeah, it was probably magic.
That's what powers robotics.
That's true. That's definitely what powers Woody here.
Yeah, but he's a... I'm learning that Topo is not just his name. It is a line of robots that were developed by Androbot Incorporated. And they were programmable with Apple.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There he is.
Yeah, it just lets it move around the room and perform tasks. It's kind of like a Roomba but that will look at you.
Right. And judge you.
And bring you untold delights.
Yes. In this case, the delight was just some tobacco for Harv. But one of the keys also to Woody is he has a very high-pitched processed voice that is difficult to decipher.
Yeah, his voice is, I think I maybe understood about a third of what he said. He needs a readout like the computer and Frankie and Johnny were lovers.
Yes. Mag says...
I can't believe this film isn't on the Topo Robot like Wikipedia page like as like a notable like cultural... appearance for it.
We need to have our goons at it.
Yeah. They won't let me edit Wikipedia.
Hey, what'd you do?
I didn't even try anything, but like I just clicked a button and it said that like I was banned for years for some reason.
Oh, okay.
They must have gotten wind of me and what I get up to elsewhere. Just cut it off at the source. But yeah, if one of our goons is a mod there, you know, consider expanding this article.
Yes.
This article is a stub. And soon it will grow.
Yes. Anyhow, Mag talks about how proud she is of Harvey, but Harvey's modest about it. They decide not to check Terry's references or anything and just tell her that she can start now. Which is how insane Lifetime movies begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that this one kind of
started
that way. I don't feel like it goes in...
No, not quite.
Calling Insatiable one, I think, was a closer call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
This one, kind of... It starts like one.
But it does not end like one.
Not quite.
No one gets abused,
No one's bed is on fire.
Does that happen a lot?
Well, there was a real famous Lifetime movie where the lady...
She burned her husband in the bed?
Yeah.
Cool.
So Harvey follows Terry out to her car. She gets her suitcase. And we see a flashback, I guess in Harvey's mind, thinking back to her lips as she introduced herself earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, as he tends to do, Ron Jeremy is peeping out his window with his telescope. This is Dom... the neighbor. He gets an eye full of Terry's ass as she's bending over to get her suitcase out of her car, which obviously delights him. We cut to night and see Terry naked getting into the bathtub as she's putting up her hair and staring in the mirror. We see Dom creeping around outside peeping at Terry. Terry pours some oil or soap stuff into the bubble bath and climbs in. We hear Terry's thoughts, noting that Harv and Mag are a good couple, and soon she's going to get them really going. We cut to a fantasy scene where Harv and Mag are laying naked in bed, seemingly asleep. We then see Terry creep in from behind the curtains and climb into bed with them. She starts by going down on Mag and then climbs up to lay beside Mag as we see Harv start to fuck Terry, really pounding as Mag masturbates. We get cutaways to different positions, more of Terry going down on Mag, some shots of Terry and Mag blowing Harvey, Harv fucking Terry as she's going down on Mag, and Harv fucking Mag as Terry plays with herself. Meanwhile, we're getting cutaways to Terry playing with herself in the bathtub as creepy Dom watches on. We see in the fantasy as Terry and Mag are licking and sucking Harvey's cock. He blows a big load and they lick and suck him more. We see Terry finishing up her solo play in the bathtub before climbing out and wrapping herself in a towel as creepy Dom watches on. Terry then goes into her bedroom where she opens that one suitcase she brought with her, which is almost all sex toys.
She didn't pack shit.
No, yeah.
But she pulls out the tried and true hard plastic white vibrator and begins to play with herself. We cut to Harv and Mag's room, this time in reality. They're laying there in bed in white pajamas. Mag is excited about having a live-in housekeeper. She likes the idea of her getting a massage from Terry anytime she wants. She adds that Terry seems so considerate. Meanwhile, both she and Harvey are undressing. Meanwhile, Harv is imagining Terry's lips again, and then asks Mag if she'll do that thing that he wants her to do with her mouth.
Well, she's really cryptic.
Yeah. Yeah.
She asks if Terry would just get on top of her like usual, maybe next time. Harvey sighs, but then mounts Mag missionary. We cut away to Terry laying in bed, rubbing her clit and labia with the side of her vibrator before pushing it inside her. A shot that immediately cuts to Harvey pushing his cock into Mag's vagina. Harv and his crazy hairy shoulders give Mag a pretty good pounding.
He's got a whole hair shirt.
Yes, he does. Simultaneously, Terry's giving it to herself pretty good with the vibrator. We see Harv moan as he gives his final thrust, seemingly finishing inside Mag. And then we see Terry finishing her masturbation session, throwing down her vibrator. We cut to daytime, and Harvey is smoking his pipe in a lounge chair at poolside as Terry brings Mag a towel and Mag is climbing out of the pool. Terry offers to rub suntan lotion on Mag's back, and Mag agrees.
I feel like her maid outfit is pretty much just a Halloween costume.
Her maid outfit is the same maid outfit that you would buy from any sex shop.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And
we love it.
Yes. As Terry and her maid outfit are rubbing Mag's back with oil, Harv is watching on, staring at Terry's cleavage. It's at this point that neighbor Dom sneaks over, smiling at the girl-on-girl rubdown happening. Dom shouts howdy to his neighbors. Harv asks where Peg is, who I gather is Dom's wife, and he says that she's at her mom's. Dom asks who that is, leering at Terry, and Harv says it's their new housekeeper. Dom says, "Your new housekeeper, you sly little devil." And then he tells Terry that after she's done with Mag, he could use help putting lotion on his jungle here as he reaches in and touches his chest. Terry offers to give Mag a private massage inside. And Dom tells Terry that he'll see her at the party Saturday as Terry and Mag head inside. Terry doesn't respond to Dom.
Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do, is just to not engage with Ron Jeremy.
Dom confirms with Harv that the party on Saturday is still on and asks if Harv has an extra towel. Harv calls out for Woody to bring them a towel, and he comes rolling over with a towel in tow. A towel, Dom? He says. Dom says, that little guy kills me.
I don't know if the... I don't think the actual one could talk. Oh, wait. No, it could. It could use text-to-speech.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess pretty cool.
Someone was just keying in his lines. What was I going to say? Robots, robots, robots. Get back to work.
Inside, Terry and Mag go into a bedroom, and Terry tells Mag to take off her swimsuit, and she does.
And you can see a boom mic down in the corner.
Excellent.
As they pan into the room.
Mag thanks her for doing this for her, and Terry says, it's just part of my job. Which I don't think is true, but whatever.
You've been seeing a lot lately that many jobs you don't think would require giving massages require giving massages.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. It's all just part of the territory. When you're, I guess when you're like freelance, not a lot of workplace protections.
Yeah, I guess so.
End up giving a lot of massages.
Yeah. Mag lays down on the bed, face down, and Terry starts to rub her down. They talk about how soft each other's skin is. Terry compliments Mag's body as she rubs her up and down, giving her ass a good rub for a few moments before telling Mag to turn over and continuing to rub her. Terry tells Mag that she has great breasts. Mag tells Terry that she has wonderful breasts. As Terry is rubbing Mag down, she briefly rubs Mag's crotch and Terry apologizes. Mag tells her to keep touching her, and the ladies begin to make out. Mag tells Terry to take her clothes off, and she does. Outside, Dom asks how Harv found Terry. Harv tells him that she answered their ad, and Dom just says, "What a find." Terry, now down to her stockings and thigh highs, makes out a bit more with Mag and starts to go down on her. They caress and make out more. Outside, Harv says that Terry's going to make things easier for Mag. And Dom says, oh yeah, easier for Mag and harder for you. Inside, Mag is now going down on Terry, tonguing her clit as Terry grinds into her face. Terry produces a large double-headed dildo and walks her through putting one end into Terry and then having Mag suck on the other end.
Where did she get that dildo from?
She brought it with her. Her suitcase of sex toys.
Yeah, no, but I meant, like, from where, logically, would she have pulled that from?
Like, she pulled it out of a drawer in, a bedside table.
It's just, you know, it's just there. Don't worry.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, there's always things just a dildo within reach. You want to keep that thing on you.
Yeah. You never know when you'll need it. So, Terry compliments Mag on her dildo sucking and then tells her to put that end inside of her. So the ladies fuck the opposite ends of this dildo together for a bit, and they seem to quite enjoy themselves and get off pretty hard.
It's a pretty strong scene. We enjoy it. She has no problem sucking this double-ended dildo. She still won't do that thing with her mouth.
She sure won't.
But I think maybe we're starting to see a plan come together here from old Terry.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they end by making out and caressing each other more. And we cut to Harv sitting in a chair and pulling out his pipe. Mac comes by to tell him that she's going to bed, and he tells her goodnight. Once Mag's left, Terry comes by to tend to the fireplace, bending over in front of Harv, leading him to stare at her ass. Terry uses a match to light Harv's pipe, and we get a close-up of her lips as she says, I sure love the way you puff on your pipe. You must be a great kisser. Terry asks if there's anything she can do for him before bed. She then reaches down to his crotch and asks if this is another pipe in his pocket. She says that she sure would love to puff on this pipe, and so she pulls out Harry's cock and begins to suck and stroke it.
Yep, she's toking on that old flush pipe.
Just then, Dom starts to peek through the window and is shocked at what he sees.
Wow, look at those tits.
She just answered your ad, huh? He says. We get a slow-mo shot of Terry stroking Harv's cock, finishing him off in and around her mouth. She sucks and strokes his cock a bit more. Dom notes that he's got to get some of that action. So Terry finishes pulling up Harv's pants and closing his shirt, and he's passed out from coming too hard.
It happens.
It happens to the best of us.
Yes. So we cut to Day, and Dom is using his telescope to peep at Terry, who's laying by poolside snoozing. Dom says, "Ha ha, now's my chance," as a predator would. So we see Dom approach the sleeping Terry. He says hi and hands her a flower, telling her that he picked it for her to wear in her hair. Terry grabs it and just throws it behind herself. Terry tells Dom that Harv and Mag went shopping. Dom tells her now would be a good time to put on that lotion. Terry tells Dom to wait right there, adding that she'll fix him up just right. Dom waits around for a few moments, and then Terry emerges. She's in a black bodysuit with cutouts for her breasts, ass, and crotch.
Yeah, it's like I called it like an S&M onesie.
Yeah. She then throws down some black clothes and a chain and tells him to put them on. So we cut to Terry sitting on the steps in the pool. She yells, "Eat me, dog!" We cut to Dom, who's in a black bodysuit, now with a collar around his neck, with a leash that Terry's holding. Don stammers, indicating that he'd have to go underwater for that, and Terry tells him, "That's right." So Dom takes a deep breath and goes underwater, beginning to go down on Terry. Amber Lynn could have taken care of Ron Jeremy's problem in 1985,
yeah,
and she didn't have the nerve to finish the job.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like maybe he has powers. He's down there for a while.
He is.
He is, but she's got her legs on top of his shoulders as he's going. Yeah. She could have easily stopped.
Yeah, he wasn't going to win.
Really?
She would have crushed him.
Really, this is all Amber Lynn's fault.
Yeah, I'm victim blaming her. I don't know if she was a victim, but I'm doing
it. You're blaming her.
Yeah. Officially, that's my stance. Now.
She told you not to tag her on Instagram.
She did. Yeah, that was so long ago, yeah.
But we don't forget a grudge.
Yeah, we don't forget. So, yeah, it's her
fault. We don't forget and we don't forgive.
Yeah, I'll never forgive her. I'll never forgive her for what she didn't did.
So after a minute, Dom comes up for air and asks if she wants more. Terry says yes and pushes his head back underwater. After a moment, she tells him to come with her, and she takes him out of the pool over to a blanket outside. She lays back and tells him to continue, and Dom goes down on Terry more, sticking a finger in as well for good measure. After a minute, Terry tells Dom that's enough, and then to put his cock in her. She gets in doggy position, and Dom starts to fuck her from behind. Dom bangs her in this position for a bit, and she tells him, "Come all over me, please." He continues to pound her for a bit longer before pulling out and coming all over her ass and the back of this bodysuit. They both collapse. We see Harv and Mag excitedly talking about their guests coming over for the party tomorrow. They're at the dinner table, and Terry walks in serving them a chocolate cream pie. Terry tells them that she'll put on some music, and then she's going to go upstairs to have a shower. We hear the music start, but instead of going upstairs, Terry crawls into the room under the table, which Harv sees, and Mag doesn't at first. Terry puts her finger up to her lips, gesturing for Harv to stay quiet. Harv tells Mag that they should sit at the table for a while tonight, and goes to get his pipe. While Harv is gone, Terry starts to caress Mag's legs under the table. She whispers to Mag that it's just her, and tells Mag to enjoy that pie, while Terry eats this pie. Terry slides off Mag's panties and begins to go down on her. Harv sits back down and starts to smoke as Terry continues to go down on Mag. Terry then crawls over to Harv and pulls out his cock and starts to suck him under the table. Mag is playing with herself, and Terry reaches back to finger her a little bit, too, as she continues to suck Harv's cock.
She is working very hard.
She really is.
How much do you think she's making?
I don't know. I don't feel like money was ever discussed, so perhaps nothing.
Okay.
She got paid in the loads that she earned.
And earn them, she does.
Yes, she does. Mag pulls up her panties and tells Harv that she's tired and going to bed. Terry continues to blow Harv under the table for a while, eventually stroking him to finish him off in and around her mouth. Just as he finishes, there's a knock at the door. Harv asks who it is, and Dom yells out, "It's your favorite neighbor!" Harv yells for Dom to come in. Dom sits down at the table across from Harv, where Mag left her cake. Terry's still licking Harv's cock a bit. Dom takes a bite of the pie there and notes it's delicious. Just then, Terry under the table unzips Dom's shorts and starts to suck his cock, leading to an obviously surprised reaction from Dom. Then, Terry stretches out a weird black mini bodysuit onto his cock.
Yeah.
It's like the one that she had him wear in the pool, but it's
just for his, just tiny. For his cock.
Yes. Yes.
No. It's pretty cool.
Yes. She says, "Here's a little rubber suit I made just for your cock, Dom."
What an odd woman.
Terry then starts to suck the tip of Dom's cock, the part uncovered by the little suit. Harv has practically fallen asleep on the other side of the table. Terry strokes Dom's cock more, finishing him so that he blasts in and around her mouth. She sucks him a bit more and then rolls off the little bodysuit.
It seems maybe Mag doesn't like sucking her husband because he just falls asleep immediately afterwards every time.
Perhaps. That could
be it. She's not getting anything.
He didn't even say thank you.
He didn't say thank you. He just conks out. He puffs his pipe the whole time, pours smoke in your face, and then he falls asleep.
It's rude.
Dom says that's what he calls sharing a dessert, and toast Harv to neighbors. We cut to daytime, and outside Mag's reading, we hear her voiceover. She asks herself how she could ever tell Harv about Terry. She feels guilty, but then thinks maybe she should use her mouth on Harv the way that Terry taught her to. She notes he'd like that. We cut to Harvey inside smoking his pipe. His voiceover wonders what Mag would do if she found out about him and Terry. He adds that he better not let it happen anymore. But it feels so good. If only Mag would do it to me, I'd be so happy. Harv sulks off, walking past Mag at poolside and then going back into the house. Meanwhile, we cut to Dom staring at Terry through his telescope again. He's talking to his wife on the phone. He tells her, "That's fine, you can stay at your mom's. I was only going to talk business over at Harv's anyway. I'll pick you up on Sunday."
I don't think they should let him have custody of a child.
They really shouldn't.
No. We got to stop this.
Well, they don't mention a child here.
I assume that's what they meant.
No, his wife was staying at her mom's.
Oh, okay. I thought they were
talking. He said in an earlier scene that his wife was staying at her mom's, and so he was talking to his wife. She's going to stay at her mom's.
Okay.
An extra day,
which means
that she won't be there for the party at Harv's.
No. Yeah, I get it now. Okay. I misunderstood, I think.
I hope that there were no children involved in this. It's not explicitly discounted.
I don't think so. I don't think there are any at all.
Thank God. Dom says, "This is going to be the greatest party of my life." So we see Harv and Mag getting ready for the party as Harv's talking to a guest on the phone. He tells them that they don't need to bring anything as their housekeeper is preparing everything for the party. So then we cut to the kitchen area where we hear moaning. The camera starts to pan down slowly across the counter where there's a giant platter of meat and cheese and crackers. Then it pans down to the floor where Terry's on her hands and knees rocking back and forth moaning. She says, "Oh yeah, deeper." the camera eventually reveals that behind Terry is Woody the robot.
Oh, no.
Who is holding a large dildo.
Yeah, and his little appendage that I guess he brings you towels and pipes and such with as well.
Yes.
That should have made it just an attachment.
I think later on, I think there is something more like that. You'll see.
Yes. In some shots, we can see Terry is more or less fucking herself on the dildo. In other shots, we can see Woody rocking back and forth. In some shots, we see the dildo's actually nowhere near being inside Terry as Woody is, like, rolling back and forth.
I think this violates the warranty.
Probably, yes. Eventually, Terry falls to the floor. We hear Woody say, "I hope that was satisfactory, Terry." Terry says that she needed that. We then cut to the party, and the guests are greeting one another and chatting. Terry's bringing around hors d'oeuvres. We hear her voiceover saying that these people need to loosen up and suggest that maybe she should make her secret punch for them. We cut to Terry in the kitchen. She has what looks like a dropper of food coloring. She says just a drop of her love potion should do the trick.
Where does she get a love potion?
I don't know, but this is basically her drugging a party.
Yeah, of strangers, more yes. or less, as well. I guess it was in her little bag of tricks. She's quite a character.
She sure is. So, she says that just a drop should do the trick, but then she accidentally squeezes a stream of the concoction into the punch bowl. She says, oops.
I don't think that was an accident.
That was not an accident.
Then she just pours the whole bottle in and stirs it.
There you go.
So we cut to Terry walking around. She's got a platter of little cups with her punch in it and hands them out to everyone. They're all still chatting with each other. It's not long before the party guests start getting a bit closer to one another and undressing. We cut to everyone in their underwear getting a bit handsy, including Dom rubbing on Mag's ass as she sits on the edge of a chair. Mag and Harv are joking around and can't figure out how to smoke from a pipe because they're so heavily drugged now. They do figure out how to tongue kiss pretty hard, though. We then cut to the whole room just sucking and fucking.
Yep.
Terry walks over, still in her maidwear, and drags Harv and Mag off to another room. Terry has Mag help her take Harv's underwear off, and he lays down on the bed. Terry says, "Let's make Harv feel real good." So Terry starts to suck Harv's cock as Mag rubs his leg. After a minute of this, Terry tells Mag to try. Mag pauses for a second, a bit reluctant, but then leans in and starts to suck Harv's cock. "Bon appetit," Terry says, and she walks off. We cut to the living room where the party guests are fucking. This includes Dom fucking a busty redhead, who I believe is Mindy Ray, doggy style while she blows another guy. There's a blonde woman played by Sheer Delight who's riding Herschel Savage on the couch. We see Terry returning to her room. She starts to gather her things, and we cut back to Mag blowing Harv pretty hard now. The living room is full of sucking and fucking, and we get some close-up penetration shots. We see Mag 69ing with Harv. Terry's redressing into her normal clothes. We hear her voiceover telling us that she loved this job and everything came out just fine. The woman here blowing Billy D, played by Tracy Does It, yells out for someone, anyone, to fuck her. Woody, the dependable servant, is there to please, rolling up wearing a strap-on harness and beginning to fuck her from behind as she blows Billy D.
They must have shot this after the other scene when they figured out the attachment thing just wasn't working out.
We see Mag finish off Harv by stroking his cock hard. The sucking and fucking in the living room continues, and we see Harv and Mag lay side by side naked in bed, caressing one another. Terry busts into their bedroom and tells them that she has to be going, adding that she has another interview to get to, but she thinks that she'll see them again. After Terry walks off, Harv says to Mag that she may have changed their lives. In the living room, we see cum shots all around the room. Ladies getting coated wall to wall.
Nice.
We see Meg and Harv side by side again, noting that they're sad that Terry has to leave. On her way out of the house, Terry stops to kiss Woody, who tells her that he thinks he needs a recharge. As the shot stays on Woody, we hear him ask, "Will Terry visit your house? Stay aroused." Huh. And then we get our The End card.
I swear he said something about, at some point during the sex scene, that it sure makes his software hard.
I think he might have. It was hard to make out what he was saying. Yeah,
some of his lines are indecipherable, but yeah. I wrote that down in my notes. So either that's my ad lib or that's him.
Either way, it works.
It's beautiful.
Terry is like Mary Poppins.
Yes.
She is, yeah. Oh, I was going to make that point. Or like an Amelie type figure. She's just sort of like a magical person who's there to fix your life problem, and then she's on to her next one.
Yeah. That's maybe cute. I like this.
Should have been called Terry Poppins.
Yeah.
I would watch this.
You did.
Oh, I did.
All right. Well, that's as good a time as any. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we'll be back with our final thoughts on Amber Aroused.
Here we are again.
Yep, we're back.
We're back from break. I'm going to break one off. Boss, I think it's time for you to start.
The raincoat review.
Wait, so I have to start this?
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
I just wanted to get you out of your comfort zone.
Put me on the spot.
I wanted to make you Johnny on the spot. Right? Anyway. Sally said before we cut to break, this movie is kind of like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
It's got a wonderful tale of a magical housekeeper who revives a dead marriage.
Yeah.
And, it's a tale we need in these trying times, you know, with divorce rates through the roof and so forth. You don't need to go to family court. Just hire a live-in maid to give you blowjobs. See? And then you keep your marriage together, and perhaps it will be stronger.
Perhaps.
But I thought this was a fun little film. It's nice and breezy. It's pretty short. I think it's like a little bit over an hour and 20, something maybe like that.
Yeah, it's like 80-ish minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, 80-ish minutes. I think Amber Lynn did pretty well in the lead role. I say that begrudgingly. I don't think it was really like a bit sparse on story or anything. I think for the story it was trying to tell, it told it in the perfect amount of time and in the right way. I don't feel like there was like much that I felt like I was missing out on to bar any understanding or enjoyment of the story in ways I often feel. So that's nice. It's not, you know, it's not perfect, but it's pretty serviceable. The sex is kind of eh. I did like the a few of the blowjob scenes and I think the double-ended dildo scene was a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, I also like the little cock suit. That was cool. I don't know what I'm saying. I enjoyed this film. Don't know. I don't think this one is recommended to us. I think this is just one you had acquired recently.
Yes, this was part of the double feature from Vinegar Syndrome that also included Slip into Silk.
Oh, yeah.
And, I watched it kind of offhand, like, last week, and I watched a couple movies last week and decided that this one, we should probably just cover it.
Yeah, it has a, it's got a fun, lighthearted tone to it. It's certainly not objectionable unless you think the sex content is objectionable.
I think sex in general is objectionable.
Yeah. I don't know why we've continued to do this show and you, every time we're off, you're just like screaming at me about how you don't want to talk about blowjobs.
I hate it.
They're abominations. I'd give this, I guess, a 3.5. I feel like it's one of those movies where it's a, when you think of like a classic workplace pornography or something like that, this pretty much kind of fits the bill for that.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of, you got some big names, you got some smaller names, you've got a man who's so hairy that it looks like he's wearing a shirt even when he's not.
Right.
I just say, you know, 3.5 apples for this one.
All right. Well, I enjoyed this as well. I thought it was amusing. I think that the sex was good enough. It wasn't great, but it was not bad. It was never bad.
No, I was never. It was just never astounding.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the one thing that kind of bums me out is I think that there was just, I feel like if it was like there was 10 or 15% more of a focus on humor in this movie, it'd be better.
I think that could be, yeah.
Like,
your real source of humor is Ron Jeremy, and that's, you can only get so far with that.
Right. I think that the robot was sorely underutilized.
Yeah. Oh, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I didn't really even mention him in my review.
He was front and center on the poster, and I was looking forward to the robot. The number one, more so than Amber Lynn, I was excited about the robot.
You see more of that little R2-D2 robot in Program for Pleasure than you do the robot in this one.
That's true.
And he's just a little toy.
But, you know, he does have some scene-stealing showcases here.
Yes. I think, though, our standard for them is pretty high.
Yeah.
The talking computer.
Yeah.
We met long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But our good friend Beeple.
Beeple.
Beeple Wolfgang the Third.
Anyhow, overall, I enjoyed watching it. It was a good way to spend a Sunday afternoon, and then a slightly less good way to spend a couple nights doing notes later this week because I didn't take notes the first time I watched it.
Should have just pulled it from memory.
But overall, I'm going to give it 3 stars. I liked it. A little bit more humor would have gotten it over the edge, given me a 3.5-star experience, but this wasn't it. But it was good. You should see it. It's the double feature with it and Slip Into Silk.
It's a good,
not a bad buy.
Yeah, it's a good buy. It's a good buy. And Sally, do you have any thoughts about this film?
I barely remember it.
That's fair.
Okay.
It wasn't a couple weeks ago.
It felt like a couple weeks ago.
It's been about a week.
Okay, if you say so.
It's been about since Boss told me we were going to watch it.
Okay, if you say so.
I told Jeremy we were going to watch it like Sunday.
And then we did.
But I don't...
I know you're like, you don't perceive time the way the rest of us do, but... It's just been a week. I know it...
It feels longer than...
Sometimes with pornography... It does slip away faster, I feel like, than with other films. Sometimes there's less to grasp onto unless you're just thinking about blowjobs.
I mean...
You're like, what happened in that movie? And you're like, oh yeah, they fucked for about...
45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 of its 80-minute runtime.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to forget what's happened.
Yeah.
Even in the space of a week. And that's why notes are so important.
Yeah. I remember them when I listen to them.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think... You don't ever want to forget your notes. You don't ever want to forget your raincoat. And don't forget our social media, which you all know. I love you. Don't forget your raincoat.
Goodbye, Wade.
Bye, bye, Harry.
Goodbye, Gumball.
I think I need a recharge.
Bye.
Have fun, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Your house? Stay aroused!